Programming on NPR is supported by Renewal by Anderson, providing window replacement from a company you can trust. Showrooms in St. Louis Park and Cottage Grove. 612-925-1951.
Good morning. Welcome to Mid-Morning. I'm Catherine Lanfer. A Minnesota House Legislative Committee has approved a proposal to significantly toughen sanctions against crimes motivated by the victim's race, religion, or gender, so-called hate crimes. At the same time, President Clinton has made it clear that an expanded federal hate crime law is one of his priorities for his final year in office. Both proposals prompt criticism from those who argue that such laws not only create a special class of offenses, they create a special class of protection. Are all crimes hate crimes? We'll talk about that today with Jim Rhodes. He's a Republican state representative from St. Louis Park. He's sponsoring the proposal to toughen hate crime laws in Minnesota. Representative Rhodes, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody.
Tom Pritchard is also here with us in the studio. He's the president of the Minnesota Family Council. Thanks for joining us.
Good to be here.
Representative Rhodes, I'd like to start with you. Doesn't Minnesota already have a bias crime law?
Yes, they do. And basically, we are just taking some existing crimes and making the offenses a little bit more meaningful if there's hate crime actions involved. For example, these are like misdemeanors that would become a gross misdemeanor, that type of thing.
All right. Give me an example. What's called a bias crime now here in Minnesota?
Well, if it's a bias crime now in Minnesota would be where it can be proven that the victim was the victim of the crime because of being in a how they pray or that type of thing. So, for example, and I use this example, if somebody would throw eggs at my home, that would be a nuisance or that type of crime. However, if they put a swastika on my home, that could raise it to a bias crime.
But
because of the impact of the
what if they threw eggs at your home because you're Jewish?
If they threw eggs at my home because I was Jewish, it could be proven. It would have to be proven that's what the motivation of the crime was. We use the example in the committee of the idea that if you are going to be attempting something because of the fact that, we'll say, because I'm a Republican or because I'm a legislator, that's one thing. But to put a swastika on my home or single me out because of how I pray, then it would raise to another level because then it has a different meaning. I used the example in the committee in my home, right by the door when I leave, there's a family tree that's my wife's family, and there's a lot of dots on it from people that were killed in the Holocaust. That has significant more meaning for me than being Jewish and having a swastika there than not. And when the person that came to testify was a victim of the...
The person who came to testify at the legislative committee hearing.
Yes, he came, a gentleman from St. Paul that was actually originally from Germany, that was a victim of that part of his life and been in a concentration camp and all that, it does have a chilling effect on them. And then that's what we're trying to protect.
This is
a behavior, not a thought. I have to make it clear. People can hate and freedom of speech, and that's fine. It's when they carry out the actions.
Is there a difference between a bias crime and a hate crime?
I think it's just a matter of interpretation. Biases and hate, I suspect, is going to be in the same...
I guess what I'm asking is we have a bias crime law.
Yes, but not for these particular penalties. That's all this. All this is, we're just increasing the penalties for some of these other crimes. Arson in the fourth degree, trespass, civil disorder, obscene or harassing phone calls, public nuisance, that type of thing, interfering with religious observance.
Okay, now I'm confused. We have a bias crime law. What is your law going to do that's different?
Okay, what we're doing is we're just adding some of these existing current crimes, we're just adding the penalty that if it's hate motivated, that's all it is.
So,
if, for example, if it's right now, the way it is. If it's civil disorder, it's civil disorder. But if it's civil disorder with a bias or hate motivated, then it ups the penalty. That's what this is.
So there's different penalties.
That's correct for existing crimes. And these are all like misdemeanors, that type of thing.
All right. Now, Tom Pritchard from the Minnesota Family Council, what are your objections to this proposal?
Well, first of all, I need to say that I think hate-motivated behavior should be punished to the full extent possible in the law, but I disagree with the notion that you create new penalties, because I think one of the things it does is it really lowers the value in the lives and safety of some people than others. It was interesting, Richard Cohen of the Washington Post, a columnist, said, "The worth of an individual is dependent on the group to which he belongs." This is what the proposed hate crime law, this is on the federal level, endorses. It sets a higher value on the safe lives and, or safety of certain people than on others. And I think that's one of the big concerns, is now you've created a category of crimes based on a group of people and crimes against a group of people as opposed to an individual. And I think a second thing, Representative Rose says this doesn't get at speech or it's only behavior, but it does get at speech, because the only way you find out the motivation of a person, the hate of a person, is what they say. A white person could strike a black person and say nothing, and it wouldn't be a hate crime. But if he said a racial epithet, you know, a two-sentence or two-word racial epithet after he struck him, it would become a hate crime. And so in a sense, you're punishing that additional thought, however offensive, and it would be offensive. But I think it goes beyond punishing behavior, and I think it's a dangerous precedent for the law to begin to look at people based exclusively, in a sense, on what group they belong to.
But couldn't you turn this around and say that we're looking at intent behind an action?
No, I think there's a difference between intent. Intent looks at, did you intend to do the action? Whereas motivation is, why were you doing this? It's because I hated this person is the motivation. So it's going beyond intent to whether or not you actually intended or you planned to do this to motivation. And that's a significant departure. And that has to be found out through a communication or some sort of expression on the part of the perpetrator.
Again, though, I mean, don't we already do that to some degree? If you kill someone in self-defense, we look at the motivation, we look at the intent, and we say, that's manslaughter. If it's premeditated and you hate this person and you've been plotting this out, then it's first degree.
Well, but it's plotted out. It's not they're not necessarily looking at whether you hated that person. Whether did you take time to think about this crime and then act on it as opposed to your motivation. What they're looking at here is kind of a subjective intent, the motivation, and we think that's a really departure. And it's interesting, Senator Kennedy, on the federal level, they had hate crimes legislation before Congress, and he was asked about a rape and if could there be some rapes which would be hate crimes and others not. And he said yes. If there is an animus towards a woman expressed in one rape, it would be considered a hate crime. But if it wasn't expressed in the other rape, it wouldn't be a hate crime. And so you have the same crime, basically, and yet you're giving entirely different penalties. And that's fundamentally unfair to the victims of those crimes where they don't, in a sense, find hate.
And your concern is that all the victims wouldn't be treated fairly?
Yeah. You're really treating some victims, in a sense, become second class because their crime, there's not a presence of hate. And it's interesting, under the law proposed by Representative Rhodes, you don't even have to, this goes even beyond. It is really directed at the group. You could, for instance, under the reading of the language of his bill, you could have a situation where a white person hated a black person, and that black person had a white friend. And so this white person beat up that white person because he didn't like the fact he was a friend of that black person. And that would be considered a hate crime, even though his intent is against black people, but he punished or he attacked those white people. So
you've lost me there. That sounds like it should be a hate crime.
No, well, because if it's a hate crime, it's directed at blacks. And in this case, it's somebody who wasn't the person you're hating.
I have to stop you again because this analogy isn't. I got up early. I had my Cheerios. This analogy is still not working for me. So I guess what I'm saying is that specifically included as an example in the legislation?
No, it's.
So we're talking a hypothetical here.
Yeah, we're looking at.
And we're on really thin ice in terms of hypotheticals. I'm going to let Representative Rhodes respond quickly before we go to calls.
His comments are fair. First of all, it has to be proven. and that it has risen to that level. But the real issue is that people have been singled out. They've been singled out because of how they pray, what, you know, that type of thing. And that is the issue. But again, it would have to be proven. I'm not dealing with the federal law. That's not my issue here. My issue is that we already have existing offenses and we're just ratcheting them up.
Well, that might not be your issue, but the fact that it's on the table nationally as well certainly adds context to this discussion. We are talking to Jim Rhodes. He's a Republican state representative from St. Louis Park. He's sponsoring a proposal to toughen hate crime laws in Minnesota. And we're talking to Tom Pritchard. He's president of the Minnesota Family Council. We'd like to be talking to you about a proposal up in the Minnesota legislature to toughen the hate crime laws we already have on the books. It's 1-800-242-2828, 1-800-242-2828. If you're in the Twin Cities, it's 651-227-6000, 651-227-6000. Now, Tom Pritchard, I know that there are prosecutors who would tell you that any tool that you give them in order to fight crime is a good thing.
That may very well be. I mean, if they want to go after somebody, give them a tool to go after. But I think you have to look at the impact of this on the judicial system, of the very notion under our Constitution of equal justice under the law. In a sense, this is unequal justice because you're giving some people greater protections based on the group they belong to. And traditionally, the notion is the punishment was based on behavior and action towards a person. It wasn't on your intent, and it wasn't based on what group you happen to belong to. I do want to go back to that example where I said before, you could hate black people, a person could hate black people, but he attacks a white person because that white person's a friend of some black people, and that would be considered a hate crime against blacks, even though it was against a white person. So you're removing it from...
But if you have someone...
But you don't hate the person you hit.
Yeah, but you still hit them in order to make a point against, in order to express your animus against African Americans, you hit this white person. I guess it tracks for me, and that's why I'm having a problem with the analogy.
Well, because the intent of hitting that person, that would be an assault. I mean, I'm not saying that wouldn't be a crime and it shouldn't be punished to the full extent possible in the law now. But it's unrelated, in a sense, to the people you're going after. You're trying to go after, your hatred is directed at black people, and you're punishing that person under a hate crime in that context because of his hatred towards blacks, not because of his attack on that white person, even though your animus is towards the black people.
Representative Rhodes?
I guess my issue is, it goes back to a previous statement about speech. He's just describing an action of picking on somebody. Again, it would have to be proven. What if you deface a synagogue or a church, which we've had recently, including in smaller towns throughout the state? To me, that's an action, and they're going against a group of people of how they pray. I don't think it would be an issue in this case that would not be a biased crime.
We're going to go to Dan in Burnsville. Welcome to Mid-Morning.
Hey, thanks for having me here.
Yeah.
I'm part Jewish, so this issue really hits home. I'm concerned about it, but I'm very much against this legislation, and I have a question for Representative Rhodes. I'm wondering, why not increase the punishments for all crimes where hate is an element rather than just the specific groups he has listed in this legislation?
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it very much. This is just one group that these are all offenses that hadn't been included before. We in felonies and that type of thing, that was part of the 1989, I believe it was, hate crime.
I think we need to clarify this then. In terms of bias crimes, who's protected now? And maybe that's not even the right language to use, but what do we consider a bias crime? When you attack someone because of their race?
Race, religion, sexual orientation, and gender, I believe.
Disability, national origin.
And that's already on the books.
That is correct for other crimes other than these.
They're just expanding the application of the current. Yeah,
that's right.
Well, I think though that it doesn't hit every individual. It only hits people who fall within those groups. So
who's not covered?
Oh, everybody. Let's say, for instance, you went after somebody. The Columbine situation. Those guys shot up those kids because they were athletes. You could have a situation maybe a banker, for instance, somebody went in and they hated that person because they're a banker. It's only within those specific categories, if it's race, age, national origin, sexual orientation, only
religion.
In those groups.
I mean, you could make the case in Columbine that because they went after young Christians, that that would count as a hate crime.
But that the motivation was more of an athletic, because those were jocks.
I think that there were victims of many stripes in Columbine.
Oh, yeah. No, they're all victims. But yet, does it constitute a hate crime? For instance, you could go out and beat up a homeless person because you hated homeless. You had hatred towards homeless people. But that wouldn't be a hate crime. It's only particular individuals who fall within those groups. You don't punish all hate. It's only selected groups or categories.
We're going to go to John in Edina. Welcome to Mid-Morning.
Hi, how are you doing?
Okay.
I have to compliment you. You have a great program. I think you're one of the best personalities on radio right now.
Oh, boy, isn't
Well, John, this is the opposite of hate crimes.
My only fear is we're going to lose you nationally here soon, because I think you're getting some national attention.
Well,
anyway.
Yes, as I say, let's move along, John.
That's an interesting
topic. I'm not trying to ride the fence here, but I have sort of opposing points of view. On the one hand, Representative Rhodes, I think, has some valid reason to look at these kinds of issues. And the reason is that when you're talking about hate crimes, the possibility exists that, for example, if there's some kind of a fight, if somebody just gets in a fight because of a situation that came up, or they were mad or jealous or something, you know, that's not something somebody's going out and planning, that kind of a thing. But when you walk around with an attitude of hatred, it's almost like a violence just waiting to happen. And if something isn't done to kind of curb that mentality, that people feel like they can walk around with this chip on their shoulder just looking for an opportunity to express that kind of violence, I think you're going to have a lot more people acting out on that. If you have some kind of a penalty that says, you know what, we're going to make examples out of people that are walking around with this chip on their shoulder, I think that's a positive thing. On the other side of the fence, though, I am concerned that things would go in the direction of Canada, that where you've got sort of this genocidal treaty, broad language that basically says, you know, if you're a citizen in Canada and you express a point of view, just verbally express a point of view that would offend certain groups, that is itself considered to be a crime. I think actually in Canada you can go to jail for 5 years for just saying, for example, you know, person A, your lifestyle, I think it's unhealthy, it could lead to problems. That person, if they're part of a specific group, could say, you know, that's a hate crime against me. And literally, if somebody even expressed a view on radio that would disagree with the point of view of one of these groups, that person could go to jail. Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, I have sort of opposing concerns. Can you address that, Representative Rhodes?
Thank you for asking the question. I'm not familiar with that much about Canadian law. All I have to do is to keep in mind all my United States laws and the Minnesota. But we have a constitution that guarantees freedom of speech, no matter how awful that issue is. And I was watching on NBC, they did a show on hate crimes via the internet and all that type of thing. The freedom of speech, the freedom to do what we are guaranteed, no matter what it is that's not going to be an issue, and that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is defacing a church, a synagogue. We're talking about those types of issues where it's the action. Again, it's the action, not the thought, not the speech issue.
Tom Pritchard?
Well, I think he raises a serious concern, and I share that in terms of, in a sense, what I think you have happening here is I do believe speech is involved. The only way you get at somebody's motivation or find out their motivation of hate is by something they communicate. And what they've done through hate crimes to get at those people or their speech, a speech which, frankly, in many cases would be protected, free speech protection, if it wasn't done in the context of this crime. But if it's done in the context of this crime, they now can go after it and penalize it with a heightened penalty through a hate crime.
Isn't the point that Representative Rhodes is making earlier that it's the action? So in other words, it's protected free speech unless you commit it within the context of an action that is harmful to others. So I can, for instance, spew something hateful, and it's protected free speech. But if I spew it while I am hitting someone or setting their church on fire or putting a cross in their yard or whatever else, then it is not protected free speech because I'm doing it within the context of an action.
Well, but you are giving a heightened penalty to that act based on that speech. So in a sense, absence that speech, the penalty or the crime would not be there. You wouldn't have a hate crime if that person had any said.
But isn't that simply a recognition that words can be weapons?
Well, sure. And if the speech in the context of that crime is let's kill him,
I mean,
you're
we
directing
already
somebody.
Have...
That's different, though, if you're saying something that's purely offensive in another context.
But we already have laws on the books about how harmful speech can be, terroristic threats, other things like that. I mean,
there has to be an imminent danger connected with that speech, as opposed to this speech is expressing the person's attitude.
But again, the action gives it context, so that it becomes a different kind of speech, does it not?
Well, I think what it's doing is it's expressing the person's thoughts and beliefs, however offensive, but yet you're going beyond just punishing the behavior to punishing the motivation or the context of the speech.
We're going to go now to Steve in Minneapolis, president of the Jewish Community Relations Council. Steve, give us your last name so we have that to go along with your title.
Thank you, Catherine. My last name is Hunnigs, Steve Hunnigs.
Thanks.
Good discussion this morning. I commend both Representative Rhodes and Mr. Pritchard for their knowledge of the issue. I want to address a couple points that Mr. Pritchard has raised. First, he talks about this legislation or the proposed legislation dividing society into different classes. Actually, the opposite is true. It doesn't create any special classes. Anyone who is a victim of a crime based upon their ethnicity or their gender or their race or their religion can have that crime prosecuted on an enhanced basis because they're the victim based on one of those what they call immutable characteristics, something they can't change. If Mr. Pritchard is attacked because of his religion, if Mr. Rhodes is attacked because of his religion, and it can be proven by a prosecutor to the standard that's necessary to prove the crime, then that crime is eligible for penalty enhancement. And then secondly, I have respect for the First Amendment argument, but this case there, this proposed legislation is also based on the old and well-established principle of criminal justice that we punish people based on the culpability of their behavior and the harm that they caused. And our society has decided for many years that crimes that have been committed on the basis of someone's ethnicity or gender are something that are particularly fracturing towards society and then something that should be punished on a greater basis. And the United States Supreme Court, in the case of Wisconsin versus Mitchell from 1993, said just that was constitutional. And that case is instructive because that was a case involving an African-American attack on a white person. So that sort of goes back to Mr. Pritchard's first point, or rebuts Mr. Pritchard's first point, that this is not a law that protects African-Americans. This is not a law that protects whites exclusively. It attacks anyone if they're attacked on the basis of one of their immutable characteristics. So thank you.
Well, I think this is clearly a group situation, and I think this is very parallel to the – in a sense, you've got affirmative action in the criminal justice system because we have the same debate going over, group discrimination and sorts of things. These are crimes against groups of people. And so you're now looking at a crime through the prism of what group does this person belong to. And as I said before, this doesn't protect everybody in the sense of if you're attacking somebody because they're a homeless person, because they're poor, they're rich, they're a banker. Those are not hate crimes. And I guess I really ask the question once again is, if we are so concerned about hate, why don't we apply this to all people, all crimes where hate is an element, rather than just when it occurs in the context of a group? This is clearly a group-based focus. And as I mentioned or alluded to earlier, you have an example where you're punishing somebody even though they are unrelated to the group you're hating. So you're attacking those thoughts and that hatred towards another group. And I think clearly this segments and fragments of society. We see this with the quota debate and other things, and it's now happening in the criminal justice system.
Steve, quickly, do you have a response?
It's nonsense. You're tossing a bunch of unrelated topics together.
Quotas. It's not nonsense.
It is nonsense in the sense that the criminal justice system is an exercise in evaluation gradations of harm. And that's exactly what this does. And perhaps you can quibble with the idea, or you can argue with the idea that we should enhance some crimes because they're based on someone's ethnicity or gender, but that doesn't make the whole exercise suspect. It's just what we do throughout the criminal justice system. That's why some crimes are punished worse than others, and that's simply what we're doing in this case.
All right. Thanks for your call. We are talking to both Tom Pritchard, president of the Minnesota Family Council, and to Jim Rhodes, a Republican state representative from St. Louis Park, who's sponsoring a proposal to toughen hate crime laws here in Minnesota. If you'd like to join that conversation, it's 1-800-242-2828. In the Twin Cities, it's 651-227-6000, 651-227-6000. I'm Catherine Lanfer. You're listening to Mid-Morning. We're going to turn now to Marianne Sullivan. She's standing by with the latest from the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.
Thank you, Catherine. In the news this hour, police in Britain have successfully resolved a hijacking ordeal. The last of the hostages from an Afghan airline were freed early this morning, and police say 19 suspects are under arrest. The plane ended up in Britain after being hijacked last Sunday. Iraq says it won't let a UN weapons inspection team into the country to restart disarmament activities. The official Iraqi news agency quotes the country's vice president as saying Iraq won't let in what it calls spies, using the inspections as a cover. Rescue teams in Philadelphia are trying to find out if any other workers are trapped after a building under construction partially collapsed this morning. At least three people covered in concrete were pulled from the rubble. Stock prices have opened higher. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 15 points in today's early going. Advancing issues on the New York Stock Exchange hold a slim lead over decliners. The NASDAQ Composite Index is ahead 26 points, and the Standard & Poor's 500 stock index is up 2 points. Wall Street is coming off one of its worst sessions of the year. More candidates are jumping into the race to succeed Congressman Bruce Vento. South St. Paul Mayor Kathleen Gaylord says she'll probably announce her candidacy for the DFL nomination tomorrow. DFL State Senator Richard Cohn of St. Paul plans to make his candidacy official next week. Doctors at Mayo Clinic will remove one of Congressman Vento's lungs next week. Vento is battling a rare form of lung cancer. He'll undergo surgery to remove his left lung Monday at Mayo Clinic in Rochester. Vento believes his cancer was caused by exposure to asbestos many years ago. Vento calls the surgery a high-risk option, but he says it doesn't hurt to be an optimist. Areas of light snow or flurries statewide today, 1 to 3 inches in the central part of Minnesota. Highs will range from the single digits in the northwest, around 30 in the southeast. In the Twin Cities, cloudy with occasional snow. Temps will stay in the mid-20s today. It is snowing in 29 degrees in the Twin Cities. That's the latest from the newsroom. I'm Marianne Sullivan.
Enjoy the treasures of Europe this spring with Minnesota Public Radio's Magic of Music Tour of Italy, April 27th through the 7th of May. This 9-day trip includes stops in Milan and Venice with fabulous concerts, including baritone Thomas Hampson with the Orchestra of Florence. The package also includes airfare, lodging at 4- and 5-star Italian hotels, meals, and more. For information and reservations, call 1-800-228-7123 or check out our website at npr.org. Programming on NPR is supported by the Minnesota Waldorf School, an independent K-8 school offering education for creative thinking through academic, artistic, and practical instruction.
I'm Catherine Lanfer. You're listening to Mid-Morning. Want to remind you that in the 10 o'clock hour of Mid-Morning, we'll be talking about the new ruling coalition in Austria and how that has prompted protests and comment in the European Union and beyond. Make sure you stay around for that discussion. Meanwhile, we're continuing our conversation with Jim Rhodes. He's a Republican state representative from St. Louis Park. He's sponsoring a proposal to toughen hate crime laws here in Minnesota. And we're also joined by Tom Pritchard. He's president of the Minnesota Family Council. And, of course, we're joined by you. Let's go to Beth in St. Francis. Welcome to Mid-Morning, Beth.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I would really like for the senator to explain to me how, if someone was to murder one of my daughters, how I would be denied the same level of justice simply because she doesn't have a religious affiliation and she's white and she's not gay. I mean, I just cannot comprehend if this is not discrimination or reverse discrimination or something. I just don't understand how a higher sense of justice goes to certain people and yet not other people. We should be punishing these crimes for the horrible thing that they are for whoever it happens to. I mean, just because you're Jewish or you're gay or you're, you know, you're a minority doesn't mean that your sense of suffering or loss is greater than somebody who's not.
Representative Rhodes?
Thank you. I'm a representative, not a senator.
He appreciated the upgrade.
Was it an upgrade? That's the question. I think you have a valid statement. This bill doesn't get into those crimes, but I think the issue needs discussion. The point, I guess, I would say is that any kind of crime like that is horrendous, and that's correct. The issue is if that person was singled out for that crime because of if they were Jewish or whatever, then that would be the raising to another level.
Why, though? Why does it raise it to another level? Just because I'm not Jewish, I don't get the same protection under the law?
Well, Beth, hang on a minute here. Let me just posit this.
Okay.
What if someone murdered your daughter simply because she was female? This person was definitely misogynistic and definitely wanted to see all women dead, and so happened to pick your daughter.
What if he didn't say that? Then it's not a hate crime.
Well, but my point is, what if he did? Because that's one of the ways that you prove this. So, I mean, there are ways.
I don't think I would deserve any more justice than somebody who got murdered and because the killer or rapist or whatever didn't happen to say while they were doing it.
Let me ask you this, because there are those people who would argue that this is simply a tool, that this gives prosecutors another way to go after a crime. And so what you keep saying a higher form of justice.
Well,
if the penalties
are stiffer. That's what I gathered from the conversation, is that the penalties are going to be stiffer for people who commit hate crimes than they are for people who don't.
And
if that's the case, I guess I'm wondering. I'd like some clarification there.
And I also think we have to look at the different offenses we're talking about. In the case of Matthew Shepard, for instance, very infamous case in Wyoming, there was no need for a hate crime, the prosecutor there would argue, because it was so apparent that this was going to be a first-degree murder charge. So maybe a murder case isn't the right way to talk about hate crimes. Maybe we should be talking about other kinds of offenses, lesser offenses, where maybe you need more tools.
Well, if somebody came and vandalized my house,
mm-hmm.
if I'm not religiously affiliated and I'm not a minority group, let's say they don't like my dog or something.
But isn't that different than going after you because you're Muslim, for instance? I mean, if they simply just wanted your stuff, isn't that different than if they wanted to hurt you because of the way you worshipped?
I don't think the end result is any different. I don't think the pain or the suffering that's caused by that action is any different. I mean, do I say, it wasn't a hate crime, so gosh, I guess I don't have it so bad?
Okay, well, I think there are people who might argue it's different,
and
they, of course, can call at 1-800-242-2828. No, Beth, hang on. I'd like to have Representative Rhodes respond to you
quickly.
Don't
go away yet, Beth, and I think Mr. Pritchard would like to probably respond as well. If somebody robs my house, and I happen to be Jewish, that's not a hate crime. If they pick me out and vandalize my house and put swastikas on and that type of thing, and then that would be up to be proven that that was what motivated them. Again, it's the action and the motivation of being singled out. I think that's the difference in Mr. Pritchard.
But aren't most victims singled out? I mean, they drive by and they see that, I live alone. Aren't most victims really singled out for one reason or another?
We'll go to Tom Pritchard.
Well, I think she touches on it, strikes that nerve with people who sense that this is more of a group orientation than an individual impact of that crime. Catherine, you brought up the issue of Matthew Shepard. That was used as a huge impetus in the media and by other groups saying we need new hate crimes legislation. So that is a very relevant issue there. But it's interesting, 12 months preceding the Matthew Shepard, his brutal murder and killing, which deserves the fullest punishment under the law, there was a 15-year-old girl in Laramie who was forced, who was stabbed 17 times by her 38-year-old boyfriend, who was apparently angry because she refused to have an abortion, and he left her to bleed to death. Also, there was an 8-year-old girl in Laramie who was abducted, raped, and murdered by a pedophile, and she was disposed of in a garbage can, her body. Both of those situations were not hate crimes, but I can't imagine we're saying there wasn't hate, and the impact of those crimes were vile. But yet to say that they're not of the same level, really says, are we creating new penalties for particular groups, and we're violating this whole notion of equal protection under the law?
Are there particular groups that you have that you're especially apprehensive about creating protection for?
No, I oppose the law fundamentally because I think it does look at all groups separately. And I think what you're alluding to, are we opposing this because of sexual orientation? I would oppose this law, whether that was there or not. I think what it does is it creates a group preference.
We're going to go to Darby in Minneapolis. Welcome to Mid Morning.
Hi. I definitely agree with the fact that we do need more legislation dealing with our higher, stiffer penalties dealing with hate crimes. I've been a victim of a hate crime, and it was years ago before they had a hate crime law where it was actually they could have penalized the people for jumping me before, you know, and so it went under assault, and under the assault they only got 6 months and they were out. The other thing is that a hate crime not only affects the victim, it is a message to the community. It is saying something like, you know, this is what we do to your kind in the community. So under that premise, I definitely think that it's a terroristic type crime, and it should be in the people or the groups that are perpetrating such crime should have a stiffer penalty. I can sympathize with the woman that called earlier about her daughter, if she got killed or whatever by somebody, why wouldn't it be a stiffer penalty for them? Well, they weren't specifically targeting you before because you were gay or black or Jewish or whatever. These people that commit these crimes are specifically targeting these individuals for the purpose of terroristic purposes, threats, or violence. And with that, I will hang up.
Well, Darby, I want you to hang around. Tom Pritchard?
Well, I think you couldn't tell that mother that if her daughter was brutally raped and murdered, that she wasn't specifically targeted. Clearly that person was, or the person wouldn't have done it to it. And I think also to say that if somebody is shooting people in a park randomly, that does not have a broad impact on the broader community. Oh, I think it absolutely would. And yet somehow we're creating these new groups of crimes and saying somehow they're worse than those. And I think they're all bad. I think we should enforce the law. Maybe you need to raise the penalties. Part of the problem is we aren't enforcing these laws as we currently should.
Darby, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
We're going to go to Carrie. She's calling us from Worthington. Welcome to Mid-Morning, Carrie.
Hi.
Hi.
I guess I'm against the legislation, and I'm against it for two separate reasons or two related reasons. One is that I don't believe that any violence or inflicting pain or brutality or hatred of any kind is worse than another. I think that any kind of that violence and brutality against any human being is an absolute horrible sacrilege. I just appall it. Against anybody. I don't think that I am more or less appalled by this Matthew Shepard and what those horrible people did to him than what across the border in Iowa some parents, father, stepfather, and mother did to a two-year-old baby. I think it is horrible and should be punished probably greater than we do today. And my second reason I'm against it is because it almost seems to be attacking the problem from the backside. What are we doing to prevent our children from being raised filled with hatred, filled with violence, filled with sexual predation on others? I just feel that in this new millennium, we really need to be working with our kids to teach them that we're all different. We can get along, we can do it, we don't have to agree, but hey, we're all in this wonderful country together. And so that's why I'm not comfortable at all with special legislation for special groups.
Carrie, I thank you for your call. Representative Rhodes?
Thank you, Carrie. I think you have a valid point, and I feel the compassion in your voice, and I understand where you're coming from. This is hopefully will be a deterrent to others to take this type of action, and that hopefully this won't. This will, by taking this action, we won't further fragmentation of our community by these types of retaliatory acts. Again, the issue is that these people are being singled out for other reasons than just by holiday prayer or whatever. And but your point is well taken.
She mentioned young people. My understanding is there's an educational component.
Yeah, one of the things that this bill creates is the fact that, and they've found that most of these crimes are committed by juveniles. And when they have caught the culprits and got them to meet the people that they hurt, in two cases, they didn't have any idea that what they were doing caused that much pain to these people. And so one of the options in this bill is that the judge can have some kind of a instruction so they can understand about the people that they hurt. That's it.
We're going to go to Chris in St. Paul. Welcome to Mid-Morning.
Hi, good morning. I think everybody's forgetting a point that was made earlier that if I was attacked because I was non-religious, the woman who was worried about her daughter, but if her daughter was killed because they were non-religious or because they were white, then that they would still get the same protections under the current or the proposed law, I do believe.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Representative Rhodes?
That may be the case. Again, it has to be proven. You didn't automatically get the extra penalty. It has to be proven that it's bias motivated.
We are talking to Jim Rhodes. He's a Republican state representative from St. Louis Park. He's sponsoring a proposal to toughen hate crime laws here in Minnesota. And we're talking to Tom Pritchard. He's president of the Minnesota Family Council. We'd like to be talking to you. 1-800-242-2828. 1-800-242-2828. In the Twin Cities, it's 651-227-6000. 651-227-6000. We're going to go to John in Rochester. John, welcome to Mid-Morning.
Good morning. I agreed with several of your earlier callers, but I have another example that I think may help illustrate the point. Say two men are walking out of a bar, and one is wearing a Packer jacket, and another one is wearing a yarmulke. And say the both are assaulted, one because the attacker doesn't like Packer fans, and the other one because the man is apparently Jewish. Why would the man wearing the yarmulke have a greater protection under the law? Some people care very deeply about sports teams. It's almost a religion to them. And aren't you really trying to say that you hate racists and bigots, and this is your way of really getting back at them?
Number one, I don't hate anybody. And because we don't have time to hate anybody, we got to, life is too short, and we have to go on trying to all work together. Number two, it would have to be proven that they singled out this person because he was wearing a yarmulke, and I would say that that would be a little bit more difficult than if they would have gone after him in other ways.
Well, let's say it is proven. Let's say the attacker says, "I hate Jews," as he's beating him up, and the other attacker says, "I hate Packer fans," as he's beating him up. Clearly, in both cases, it's a crime of hate. But
religion is an issue here, and not being a Packer fan, although I suspect some Packer fans view their loyalty to the Packers as a religion.
Sure. I just don't understand why one group gets greater protection than another group.
Maybe because one group worships a god and the other one simply worships a football player? Yeah, I'm asking you seriously, John. I mean, don't we make we make gradations, we make distinctions in our legal code? Are you seriously saying that Packer fans, Vikings fans, should be a protected class?
Okay.
I'm asking you seriously because you appear to be serious.
Well, I am serious that some people are very serious about their sports teams, and some people may care more about their sports team than they do about their religion.
And so should we as a society condone that? We can tolerate it. We can allow it to flourish, but does that mean that we need to...
I think people should be free to believe what they want to believe and to associate with who they want to associate with, and that's protected under the Constitution, and whether a person cares more deeply about a sports team than a religion, that's their God-given right to do so.
But how does this stop this, John?
Well, it doesn't stop. All I'm saying is that I think that a victim is entitled to equal protection under the law. And if you give one group greater protection than another, you don't have that. And if you're going after an attacker because of what they believe or the way they think, I think that is also singling out certain people because of that. I think the crime, the punishment should be based on the actions and not what a person may or may not think.
We're going to go to Tom Pritchard.
Well, I think he does raise the point of that you're separating out, you're segmenting society, you're giving certain people for certain reasons greater protections. I mean, that Packer fan, if he's sitting in a pool of blood after he's assaulted because he is a Packer fan, I don't think he's going to feel any less a victim because of what happened to him. I do want to raise a point. It hasn't brought up yet, but under current law in Minnesota, a victim can give a victim impact statement to the judge to convey to the judge how this crime affected them. They can even appear before the court in felony situations and say, this is how this crime affected me. So the concern that the victims, the impact of the crime on the victim is not going to be considered is invalid because that already can be considered. I think we have to look at, do we have to raise penalties on crimes and begin enforcing a lot of crimes already? It's not an issue of creating new crimes based on particular groups.
We're not creating new crimes, and we should enforce them. We would agree on that. I think the issue is that you're going after a person and also all the people that are of the, if they're all of that community, in the sense if they were all of the same religion and that type of thing. So you're sending a different signal that you, more than just an assault on that one person.
We're going to go to Leah. She's calling us from Orr. Welcome to Mid-Morning.
Thank you. I think that something that some of the callers are forgetting is that they're looking on this very individualistically. We live in a society, in a world, where there have been horrendous crimes committed systematically and sanctioned either by the ignorance and lack of action on the part of people, or by the government itself, in terms of the slaughter of the Indians in this country, or the Holocaust in Europe. So really, a hate crime is not should not be interpreted as something that just happens to an individual. It's something that represents a very is aimed to prevent a very pernicious thing that happens in society against whole categories of people. And you know, we live in a society, we live in a community where there are some inevitable restrictions on our individual freedoms for the good of the community. And I think what we as a history with what has happened to the Indians and what happened to blacks in the South, we need to be very careful that we send a message that a class of people is not to be regarded with that kind of scorn.
Tom Pritchard?
Our nation was founded on the notion in our Declaration of Independence, all men are created equal, endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. The notion of equal justice is that everybody stands equally before the law and should be held accountable for their actions. It's not based on all groups stand equally before the law or are equal. It's individual, and I think when we move away from that notion of the individual and holding them accountable for their actions and the impact on a particular victim, I think we're dividing and fracturing our society, and we're not pulling together. We're heightening the problems, I think, in some respects we see in society.
What you just said there about the impact on the individual, I think, is where is an important distinction, because with a hate crime, the impact is not just on the individual. It serves to terrorize, intimidate, and exclude a whole category of people. Well, and the consequences are very important to society, regardless of, I think we could all agree that the consequences to the victim are equal. It's the consequences to society that are at issue here.
Well, a random shooting in a park, or somebody goes on a rampage and shoots up 10 people, that's going to have a tremendous impact on other people as well. But why should that not be considered a hate crime?
Well, the shooting of 10 black people in Mississippi because they attempted to vote during the Jim Crow period in this country is intimidating to a black person in Montana, because the reason and the justification is because they're members of a category.
Leah, I want to thank you for your call.
Okay.
We're going to go to Tom in Bloomington. Tom, welcome to Mid-Morning.
Well, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to ask the representative if it at all possible, since we're leaning towards protecting groups, and some groups do, I guess, need protecting, if we can easily add to this law, maybe as Richard was talking, different types of groups as well. Why just leave it to the groups that you've identified in this? Why not, you know, during the early 90s, we had a lot of right-sizing, and there was a class of people called managers at corporations who were probably intimidated by violence against them. So why not say, well, managers of corporations who lay off people, you know, I know it sounds very ridiculous, but it's a group, and it's an affected group, and it meets the previous caller's criteria of intimidation against a great big group.
I don't know if I appreciate your call. I don't know what you're actually getting to, but other than the fact of
what I'm getting to is that how many groups are there going to be? And what is the definition of a group, and why not extend that to all people instead of just the groups that you've identified?
Okay, Tom, are you afraid that somehow, for instance, white males are left out of this? White straight males?
No, I'm afraid the human factors engineers are left out of this. I'm afraid that managers are left out of this.
Managers?
Managers of corporations who are fearful of the life if they start laying people off. I'm fearful of different groups that say they want peace in the world, let's say, or they don't want war in Colombia. They can be attacked just as well, and they can be intimidated just as well because we hate them for this particular belief or action or job.
Representative Rhodes?
First of all, the groups that we are talking about are groups that have already been identified in the 1989 legislation that originally started the bias-motivated crimes. But the answer to your question, and I'm not sure I'm tracking you, but if why they would not be in a group that would be that same type of thing as a religious group or a racial group or that type of thing that are being picked on because of not of what they're doing, but the way they actually are, who they are.
We are beginning to run out of time. Tom Pritchard, a quick response.
Yes, I think the caller hits on that slippery slope of why do you limit it to age, national origin, disability, race, sex, color, race, etc. Why you're just going to have a clamor for more groups adding, we want protections on our group. And so there's really no way to stop it. And what it does is it, I think, heightens this sense of entitlement and also frustration on people who aren't in those groups.
Representative Rhodes, can you quickly tell us the path that you expect this legislation to follow?
Well, the bill in the Senate has to have a hearing in the Senate committee, Crime Prevention Committee, or whatever they call it over there, and it'll be sitting on the House floor for action as it already has passed out of the Crime Prevention Committee. And I want to also take a minute just to...